brothers and sisters, grandparents, uncles and aunts and cousins, dear friends, distinguished guests, it's an honor to welcome you to this Lord's Day occasion when Corbin and Megan are united in holy matrimony. The Lord has really blessed us in bringing us all to this happy day we've been looking forward to. After watching a courtship begin and bloom, after all the prayers for them, sober advice given, and having fun, we stand amazed again at the mystery of a man with a maid. We're amazed at how good God is to give us life and to allow even us, speaking as parents of the bride and the groom, to allow us, to gift us the privilege of bringing someone else into the world to also have the pleasure of living and serving Him. It's at times like this that we see again how rich our lives have been made by each other in the family. Especially when a son or daughter announces that they really don't want to stay forever with daddy and mama. And they want to go on to the big step of marriage. We feel in a real way at this time how deep our tie is with them and theirs with us. So we treasure this moment with them, and our hearts beat with theirs in excitement. For us, in spite of challenges and difficulties, guess you noticed the word difficulty. For us, in spite of challenges and difficulties, family life has been such a pleasure. But life is short and fragile. We were reminded of that when Megan was born to Monica and me less than 20 years ago. Suddenly it was evident that Monica was, my wife, is needing a little help. Medical help. Megan was coming 6 weeks early. Maybe I could just do it in a loud voice. Okay, I shut it off. Okay, how's that? Okay, yeah. We're reminded of this fact that life is short and fragile. When Megan was born to Monica and me, like I said, less than 20 years ago, suddenly it was evident that Megan was going to come 6 weeks early, and her mother was fainting and needing medical help right away. I called the ambulance, but the first one just went right on past the house. And the next one, wailing in the distance, came and right on past the house as well. Finally, a third ambulance seemed to find our driveway and took care of us. Come to find out later that a fire truck driver, a young father, on his way back from a call in the fire truck, heard the dispatcher with our emergency call, and possibly trying to pick up the dropped microphone, he lost control and ran off the road and rolled the fire engine and lost his life, leaving behind a family grieving for him. No one really told us that till a few days later, not wanting to spoil our happiness. But for us, at that moment, it was just the gladness. Because on the way to the hospital, the ambulance driver told me, "You're just getting ready to be a dad." And very shortly, I was. So we want to thank the giver of everything. every good and perfect gift, and for His Son, the Lord Jesus, as we sing the first song inside your program, Sing My Soul His Wondrous Love.
Save this such unfinding, for not
Okay. Right now, the local boys have an assignment they were given last Sunday. They'll take turns giving their homework up here. So you can come right on up. Use the microphone, if it works. Tell us what it is.
Brother Jason assigned us to pick a man from history who was a good husband, the history or the Bible. I thought about Jesus, just because he's not married yet, but he's returning for his bride, the church, and he's proven to us that he loves us by his life and dying for us. And his love for the church is a picture of how a husband's love should be for his wife. Amen.
I got Job in the Bible, and he was a good husband. He kept his faith even when everything was taken from him, and then he got twice as much back.
David's father, Jesse, was a good husband. He taught his boys how to work, and he did leave David out. That was good. That's good practice for boys to be left out of something so that they can work and learn not to have to be in everything.
Boaz loved Ruth and made sure she was well cared for.
I like how Jacob, he was a good husband and he didn't let anything wrong go in the home. He just took good care.
I thought about Joseph, Mary's husband. It says in Matthew, it says, for Joseph, he was a righteous man. And for Joseph, her husband, he was a righteous man. And that he was known for that. He was a good man.
I also thought about Joseph and how when he learned that Mary was with child, he thought to put her away discreetly, and as opposed to just bringing it all out to public, and God said that he was righteous.
When all the rest of the world was wicked, Noah did what was right, and the Bible says he did what was right, and he taught his sons and family to be righteous too.
I also thought about Noah. I have a little scripture. Genesis 6, verse 9. Noah was a righteous man who was perfect in the generation of well and well-pleasing to the Lord. So Noah had begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt before God and filled with unrighteousness. He was a righteous man in the midst of much unrighteousness, and he just did what he was told and was righteous.
Yeah, well, I understood it as it could be in the Bible or in your life, and I just had the brothers in the church. They're a real example to me of good husbands and their wives, and just I look up to them. Good example.
I also thought about Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, and how he was a good man. It said he was a righteous man, and I also had a thought as I was thinking about that was things aren't always as they appear. That's probably what he was thinking, but anyway, he was a good man.
I also thought about Job, and his wife wasn't completely on board with him, but he still did his part in leading, and he stayed with her, and God rewarded him later, even though it didn't seem like the perfect marriage, but he just did his best on his part, and it worked out.
I guess Noah was a popular subject, because I have Noah too. But Noah was
just the being a righteous man, one of the only righteous men in the world at that time, and God saved him and his family from destruction.
Okay, right now, our pastor, Brother David Keeling, longtime friend and father figure to the groom, will take charge of the service. God bless you.
I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for the joys, Lord, that you've provided for us in this life, Lord. And we thank you for the hope of eternity, Father, in the marriage that's coming, the reuniting of the bride with our Lord Jesus. Lord, again, we thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we just ask that you would bless Corbin and Megan as they begin a new life. Lord, we just ask that you would give them courage to fulfill the roles, Lord, that you've laid down for them, Father. Give them wisdom, Father. And Lord, just help them, Lord, if you bless them with children, Lord, that you would help them to raise them and bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. Lord, we just again ask that you would guide us this morning. Lord, give us wisdom as we open your word. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Father. Again, fill us with your spirit. May you be honored and glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Again, want to greet you all this morning in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the ultimate bridegroom, and waiting for the day when he returns to claim his bride so that we may be united with him in eternity. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 22. Just want to thank the Lord for this opportunity to be with these two, to begin their lives together. It's been a real blessing to be a part of both of their lives. Megan, since she was just a little girl, and Corbin, well, he was a little boy too, even though he had a few more years, but it was a real blessing to watch them grow, to help them, nurture them, and encourage them to live the lives that they should. It's a real blessing to me to see their lives and now come together. It's just we've been meeting together for 20 years or so and trying to follow the Lord the best we know how, and to be able to, all the things that we've been through to try to establish a body of believers here, and just to see some of the fruit of the effort that the fathers and families have put in, the mothers have sacrificed to try to bring their children to a place where they can stand on their own feet and strive to be a righteous man and a righteous woman, like we read about today, or like many of the children talked about in their assignments. The you know, a lot of people talk about faith like it's some magical thing that you just believe and all of a sudden God's just going to do everything for you. But when you read in the Bible about faith, Hebrews chapter 11 talks about the heroes of the faith, and it spoke of Moses and all the brethren that were in there of faith, and Noah. You know, whenever it spoke about Noah in the Bible about having faith, he didn't just go somewhere and pray and find faith. The Bible talks about Noah having faith, and when he had faith, he went out and got a hammer and a saw and started building an ark. It was work. It was something he had to apply himself. Faith is a response to God's demand on our life. It's not just some magical thing that's going to save you. Faith is something when God calls you to a direction or a place to go, whether it be together or sometimes alone. It's going out into that far country like Abraham did and doing what God wants you to do. And it is such a blessing to know that it's God's will. I believe it with all my heart that Corbin and Megan are united in one. I asked them before the service how they were doing, and Megan said she was a little nervous. And I just teasing said, "You getting cold feet?" Said, no, not at all. It never entered her mind. This is something they've longed for a long time. She got cold feet because she might have to be in front of everybody and say a few things. But it wasn't about her decision to follow the Lord. It wasn't about her decision to follow His leading into this marriage. And Corbin is the same way. Whenever they first began talking, Corbin asked me about it. And he said he was thinking about getting married. And I said, "Well, who are you thinking of?" And he said, "Well, Megan, of course." I mean, there was no question from the time they were little, almost, it seemed that was just going to be the natural thing for him and Megan to be united together. And it's just a blessing to be a part of that. And like I said, it's a blessing to be a partaker of just a little fruit of so many people's work, hard work, standing for what they believe in, pursuing the righteousness that that they feel God has called them to for themselves. Sometimes having to separate themselves from family that they love to pursue a way that they see better, or a way that they see that God is calling them. We appreciate the opportunity that God has given us. He's given us a will, a free will, and that's one thing that He will not trample on. We can choose to do whatever we want to do, but we can also choose to do His will. And that's we want to give that opportunity to everyone to pursue the Lord with all your heart. You be that righteous man, whatever situation you're in. I want to talk a little about marriage. Verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. You know, whenever you tell that to most people, wives, be subject to your husbands, or wives, submit to your husbands, you can almost see the hair standing up on the back of some people's necks whenever they hear that verse. It just strikes terror into their hearts. It's in the world that we live in, that is almost a hate crime to ask for a wife to submit to her husband. But in this same verse, it says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. That is a beautiful thing. And whenever we talk about submission or being subject, we're not talking about some tyrant demanding his wife, because it's not talking to the husband here. It's talking to the wife. And so when the Lord says that a wife should submit herself to her husband or subject herself, that is a choice that's put on her. That is a responsibility that God has placed on her. That is the opportunity for her, the woman, Megan, to be in the place that God made them. You know, you can go your own way. You can do whatever you want to do. We have a free will, and God honors that. But God is looking for people who are willing to submit themselves to Him and just to be the person that God wants them to be in the time that God wants them to be in. We read about Noah, and we heard the stories the boys had about Joseph, and those people weren't just some super person. They weren't superheroes. They were men of flesh and blood, just like you and I. But they chose just to be what God wanted them to be. When we think of Jesus, look at the life of Jesus. We think that, well, he was just some superstar. But he wasn't. Jesus came to live his life on this earth as a man. His responsibility on this earth was to be a man, not a saint, not some holy person, not some self-righteous person, a man. And that is exactly what God created in the Garden of Eden. Whenever He made the human race, He wanted us to be men and women that would love God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourselves. We get a lot of people that love God, but they're just completely oblivious to their neighbor. But God called us to be men and women. It's so simple. And in this situation of marriage, the highest responsibility there is in this world for Megan is to be a good wife to Corbin. The Bible says that she is to submit to him, or to subject herself to him, as unto the Lord. That again strikes fear. You mean she's supposed to be worship him like the Lord? No. She's supposed to love him just like he was the Lord. And she's supposed to respect him and honor him and treat him no different than she would if it was Jesus himself. She was married. There's nothing mean or cruel about that. That is an honorable thing. They used to say, you know, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Now, women have to have their own thing. They have to be their own person. And I think that's why the world is in the shape it's in right now. There is no higher calling, Megan, and for you to love your husband and to train your children to respect and honor him and to love the Lord. Nothing higher. You could be the president and it would be a step way down the line from the calling that God has called for you right now. Verse 23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Okay, that means he's the boss. That's not what that means. That means he is responsible to be the leader in his home. Corbin, you are responsible to be the leader in your home. That means you are responsible for making sure that she's taken care of. Financially, emotionally, spiritually. You're to lead out. You're not just supposed to let her find her own way. You lead her. You're not a tyrant. You lead. You walk the path that you're supposed to walk. Make her an example that she can follow. You be an example where it's easy for her to follow, so that she can easily fulfill her part of this. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church. What a great responsibility this is. This is your wife. You're the head. You're responsible, just like Christ is responsible for the church. What a blessing that in this act of marriage, how many times it brings up Christ, the church, because it truly is a picture. This is a small micro picture of how the body of Christ relates to its Lord. This is just a small glimpse. And that's why it keeps mentioning it. Because as a believer, as a follower, as a disciple of Christ, you've chosen not to follow Him just so you don't get thrown in a lake of fire one of these days, but you've chosen to yield your will to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just to save your hide, but we've got His words. And He tells us how He wants us to live. The teachings of Christ are showing us the contrast between ourselves and Him. And He's calling us that we would respond by faith to His demand on our life and submit ourselves to Him. There's a lot of people that say they love Jesus, but He's as far them from being their Lord over their life as East is from the West. Because for a relationship with the Lord, He's the Lord. Our choice is, I'm going to submit to Him and His will. That's our part. That's our part. See the picture? See how honorable, how glorious this union of two people is? And how great an opportunity for us to portray the picture of Christ and His church between Corbin and Megan, between you and your wife. See, whenever we fulfill that, whenever we are doing what we're supposed to do in that relationship, we are a reflection of God to the world. Marriage is an important part of being a human being. It's all an opportunity. We can be an example to the world of Christ and His relationship to His church. What a glorious thing. Doesn't have to be a scary thing. to hear submission or a scary thing to be the head. It's a glorious thing established by our Creator in the very beginning of time. In the very beginning, God looked upon man and He said, it looks like he needs a helpmeet. So He created Eve out of the rib of Adam. They were close. God made the man a helpmeet. So that as the man pursues his life, seeking the Lord, serving Him and honoring Him, he leads an example for his wife or for his helper. It's so easy to get your own ideas and own plans. Part of being in subjection is you get on His plans. You learn to love what He loves. You support Him in what He's doing. It shouldn't be the other way around. Become one. When the two become one. Just like the picture of Christ, we don't have our own plans anymore. We've submitted them to the Lord. And now His plans are my plans. His love is my love. His will is my will. That's the picture of a beautiful marriage. When the wife can just so give herself to her husband and become at one with him. So often, the husband runs around with his tail tucked between his legs trying to make his wife happy. That is not God's plan for a marriage. That, can you imagine Jesus chasing you around trying to make you happy? It's out of order. You have an opportunity to become one. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. I've often talked about this verse, and I've heard it. I've seen people at church. Somebody will dare to read these verses about wives, submit to your husbands. And I've seen, I don't know how many times, the wife listen up to the husband. When it says, wives, submit to your husband, the husband is elbowing his wife and saying, hey, that's for you. And then whenever it talks about husbands, love your wives, the wife's, hey, that's for you. We all hear what's for somebody else. But he that has ears to hear and eyes to see is not worried about the other person. They hear that, what is my responsibility in this? What is my responsibility in this? So the husband hears, I've got to love my wife. I'm responsible for her. I've got to lead out. And the wife hears, I want to submit myself to my husband as unto the Lord. We hear our own responsibility. And until we hear our own responsibility, we can't respond by faith to the Lord's will for our own lives. Following the Lord is really just a simple thing. It's just being the man God created you to be, being the woman God created you to be.
being together in the fear of the Lord, raising your children, being a picture of Christ and His church. May the Lord add His blessings. Okay. Well, we're going to have an opportunity for an open mic, so you can, anyone been a part of their lives, have a story to share, you're welcome to do that at this time. Again, want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to be a part of their lives. I guess we'll open it up. Someone has something to share. I'll begin. And, thankful for those, that instruction Brother David gave to us, blessing. Talking about Corbin and Megan, Corbin called me one morning and he wanted to ask about Megan. He told me he didn't care if it took 5 years for me to give him an affirmative answer and allow him to begin this friendship with Megan. And I really appreciated that. I did. I was still a year away from even allowing them to begin a friendship at that point. But he said something about wanting to get his bid in or something like that a little early. thankful to look forward to welcoming him as a son-in-law, Corbin. Someone else.
I don't know if Corbin thought it might have been all right for 5 years, but some of the rest of us thought it might be need to go a little faster than that. Anyways, I think I've known Corbin for about 10 years now, and he's been one of my best friends, and I'm proud to have him as a brother-in-law. I think he was only 16 years old when he had to learn how to provide an income to support his family. And just struggled making that work, working for $10 an hour and splitting firewood, just doing whatever he could just to provide for his family and be responsible for. He had a lot of responsibilities that most young men don't have at that age. And he's been a good example. And I've watched him make really, really good decisions. And I've appreciated his friendship. All I've got to say is I think he's going to be one of the best dads and husbands that anybody could ever have.
I've been a friend to Corbin for a while. We've been best friends for a long time, and I used to. Go, he'd call my dad and ask if I could come along and work with him and doing firewood. And for a little while, I was going with him pretty regularly, and we got to being real good friends. We'd talk about all kinds of different things that we wouldn't really talk about with other people. And I always really looked up to him, how he was all for really working hard, really making money just by giving it all, you know, and just working real hard. And so it was always neat just doing firewood with him, getting out there and seeing how much we could get done and driving around delivering it. And for a couple years, I was like pretty sure I knew, you know, that Corbin and Megan were, because for one thing, it seemed right, kind of. And just for a little while there, I'd kind of read Corbin stuff that he'd say, you know, and then I'd hint little things to him. And usually we'd be talking and doing wood, you know, we wouldn't stop. We'd just talk, keep on splitting and everything. And well, one time or a couple times, I'd just, you know, just hint just a little something. And he'd just completely stop and stick his leg up on a log there and just sit there looking at me a little bit. And I was like, surely, you know. It was a lot of fun. But he never really told me, but I think he probably knew I knew, you know, he probably knew I was pretty sure. So anyway.
I was the youngest uncle on the Roar side of Megan's, and we lived about 1,000 miles apart, so I didn't get to learn to know her real well over the years. But I would like to make him, I'd like to, one memory I have of Corbin, just a recent memory, and I'd like to reaffirm it with you, Corbin. Corbin was about 2 months ago or so, he was in our area there in Pennsylvania, and he stopped into my, where I worked there, and him and I sat in the office for a while, and we talked for a good long while about his upcoming marriage and all. And Corbin, one thing he mentioned that it stood out to me is he said, I hope I'm good enough for Megan. And I just want to encourage you this morning, Corbin, to keep that attitude, and both of you to keep that attitude. Really, in a marriage relationship and in all relationships, that's a good attitude to keep for a relationship, to really, really realize its full potential as we look at each other as better than ourselves, and as we try hard to be for the other person. I just want to re-encourage you in that, and all of us together.
I've known Corbin for a while. I remember the first time he came to our place. He and his family, they came, and we had, at that time, we had some Indian corn that we were growing, and first thing I did, I just said, okay, let's go, and we went out there and showed him the Indian corn, so we were good friends. I remember we'd climb trees together and stuff, but anyway, more recently now, I haven't been quite as close to him as Randall sometimes, maybe, but he... Sometimes I give him a hard time, you know, don't just let him show off a little bit, you know, and just, I try to poke fun sometimes, you know, and show that he's not just all that great, and which he is, he's good, but then I remember, of course, we were suspecting it. I was really suspecting that he was interested in Megan. He'd come to the house and eat at our place just a couple times a week, a lot of times, and then the one time we were out, Megan was out there milking, and I went out to milk the cow, and she was just smiling, and she looked at me, and she said, "I have something to tell you." And right away, I just that was the first thing that popped into my mind. And sure thing, yep, that's what it was that Corbin had asked. So, yeah, that's about it, I guess.
Well, I can say about Megan, I've always appreciated her. I mean, particularly I've seen her work with the goats, and it just always amazed me how patient she is and industrious, and she's really sweet, and I just always appreciated her. Anyway, I can say the same thing as a lot of these people have said. It's the right thing, and I kind of knew they were gonna work well together and pursue a relationship before Corbin told me about it. And actually, Corbin, he told me, "Hey, I got some news for you. Just me and him up in the upper room where Mom used to stay." And I was like, "Yeah, I bet I know what the news is already." Anyway, and about Corbin, since I'm his brother, I'll share a little bit about our relationship. Not to get too personal, but he's got a way of just grounding me a little bit. I'm a little bit, you know, kooky sometimes. And just get ideas or whatever that are outlandish. And well, he's just real steady, and he has a way of keeping me down to earth, and I really appreciate that, and I look up to him, though I'm his older brother. And anyway, he's helped me through my life just to try to be just a man and not try to be too spiritual or not try to be too smart. You know, we're all just humans, and that's the blessing of having a brother and a sister. We all have strengths and weaknesses, and we're all in this together. So I want to give the Lord's blessings to all of you, and especially Corbin and Megan.
Wasn't planning on coming up here because I'm a bit mic shy, but I've known Corbin since before I can remember. He's been my best friend, and it's really sad when he moved away, but it's amazing to see the family he's made here. Megan, I've always noticed how good she is with her siblings and how great a big sister she is, and I know that will help them as they start their own family. Corbin, when I came down to visit for about 6 months, I think Corbin was 16 at that time, and it's just amazing to see how hard of a worker he was, how much he helped me grow into the person I am, and I know that he's gonna make a good husband.
Well, I work with Corbin, and I'd consider him one of my best friends. And of course, Megan is my cousin's daughter. So I've known her for a long time, and I worked for Marcus for a year in the shop. And Megan was just always cheerful and happy to serve. You know, I'd go in and eat lunch with them, and she was just happy. So I've just seen a lot of good things. Corbin, you're getting a good girl, I think. And Corbin, he's been a real blessing at work. He's 6 years younger than me, but he teaches me things and inspires me. Just when he's working, he's running. There's no walking. There's no ladder even necessary sometimes to get up and off the roof. And he'll pull the metal up just at a run, you know. And it's good for me just to, you know, work trying to keep up with him. And just rather than just being lackadaisical and just kind of putting in my hours, you know, he's a good, a real good inspiration. And I'm just thankful for his friendship. Him and I work together quite a bit, and it's just been a blessing. So, Lord bless you.
I just got a little story. The first story I remember with Corbin, first time I met him, I think, he come over, we were working at a friend's house, and he come over there, and I thought, oh boy, here's a new guy. Okay, well, I'm going to have to break him in right then. So he was kind of showing off, and I thought, okay, let's see how it was snowy, and it was wet and cold, and I threw a snowball at him, but he says it was ice, but I remember a snowball. But anyway, I broke him in pretty good, and I was saying, okay, he's all right. And then we just become pretty good friends, and I think he took me out a little later, so we're all right now. We respect each other, and anyway, that's all I had.
Well, I'm Corbin's sister, Brianna, and Megan and I have been really close friends for about 10 years, 8 years, 10 years now. And I've thought for weeks now about what I'd want to say if I come up here, and I've gone through about a million different things and a bunch of funny stories, and I could just go on for hours. Corbin's always been the good guy. Mom always said he was her break. God knew she needed a break after Tyler and me. And he was always the... You're welcome. He was always the mediator. If I was doing something wrong, he was trying to, you know, calm me down. And if Tyler was doing something wrong, he was trying to kind of mediate and smooth things out. He was always just, why can't we just get along and be happy? You know, it was just all growing up, he was never doing nothing wrong. And it was just kind of, we got him in trouble because it drove us nuts, because he would never get in trouble. So we set things up just to get him in trouble. And anyway, he's just been a best bud of mine, my closest friend for forever. And, Megan, I could just go on and on about Megan. We've just been just tight for forever, and I just love her to bits. And I'm just so thankful that this union can come about. And it's just been in my heart for a while. And I told Corbin the other day, I just said, getting to love somebody and be loved in return is one of the best gifts you can give. And receive, and this is just beautiful. I'm just so thankful. So God bless you guys.
I want to welcome Corbin to the Rohr family as an in-law. I stand in that position too. My connection to the Rohrs predates my marriage to my wife, and I would like to say thank you to the Rohr family for your kindness in sharing that. In 2012, my family, my siblings, and my parents stopped at Marcus and Monica's house along Highway C in Versailles, and I remember Marcus clearly telling us that Megan was their miracle baby. Remember that story, she would have been one at that point. And I would like you to understand this morning that we are all miracles. When the Lord Jesus extended salvation, that is a miracle that we can be babies in God's family. And so, welcome, as an in-law.
I'm Corbin's mom. My name's Joanne, and I just wanted to thank everybody for coming today and also for everyone's support in our fellowship and community over the years. There's not a day that goes by that I don't thank the Lord for what we have here and this family. We've been truly blessed, and I'm very thankful. And now I have Megan as a daughter-in-law. So I praise the Lord for that and look forward to seeing this relationship grow. thank you again, everybody, for coming and being a support for us.
Corbin's dad, not the greatest example of fatherhood in the world, and, but in spite of that, he has become a man that I respect. It's kind of role reversal. But I come down and spend some time here. It's an odd occasion when a son ends up being a great example to his father, or maybe it's not, I don't know. But we had discussions about him getting married, and I always thought Megan would probably be the one. But I love you, son. I'm happy to have you as a daughter-in-law, Megan. And everything anybody said is absolutely true. This guy is that fantastic, believe it or not. And that's all I have to say.
Nod from the dad. I was waiting for all the important relatives. I'm Margie, and I was introduced to the Rohr family and Megan's, like, best friends when she was smaller. And I liked what the boys said about good husbands, and my favorite always is Joseph, because there's not an example in this, well, I mean, there probably is, but what man would take a woman that suspects that the child's not hers and love her, you know, pure and just man? And they don't say a lot about him, but he was there and did everything God wanted him to do. And then another thing that came up when David was talking about Bible quotes, this is not a Bible quote, but something I heard: marriage is not 50-50. It's 100% for each person. And sometimes it's not like only give half and they give half. It's both give 100%. And sometimes, like you said, most important is to have a good leader and a good follower. And they're way ahead of anybody I know. Corbin, you've been supporting your mom. Any son that loves and supports his mother like that. And then, well, I think you both deserve each other. And you're way ahead. She's been the best assistant. I was going to say she's already raised a bunch of kids. But that would come up wrong, but I can't. You know, think of the, but you know what I mean. You're raising them, but I mean, you already know how to do it. And now you get to do your own. Now I don't have anything else to say, but my favorite thing is God's graces, blessings, infinite divine mercies be upon you and your whole family here and the ones that couldn't come. And may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I know that's a Bible quote. I don't know the numbers. I just know. And look at the support you have. It's a great way to start a marriage with this is your family. I mean, so God bless you all. And I'm honored to be at this wedding. So
God bless you all.
cup runneth over. I've known you for 8 years. What amazes me the most about all of this is the love of Christ, because I've watched the Church of Monette pour out so much of that. And part of that love that got poured into Joanne's family got poured into so many other families. And yes, some challenges came with it. I don't think there could ever be a better man than the one that you're marrying. Because I know his mother, and I've watched this young man show compassion on so many. He delivered firewood to my house for me and my children for an entire winter after working. I have no doubt in my mind he will not work every bit as hard to take care of you. I wish so much blessings on you, but I thank you both for your faithfulness and your example, because it's taught me too, and for the role models you've been for my children. And I just sincerely wish with all my heart and pray with all my heart that that continues on, and that we continue to watch the blessings that pour into one into the other to just continue on and on. May the Lord bless you both.
I'm Marcus's oldest brother. There's 2.5 years between us. One brother between us yet that's not here today, Lester. But anyway, I grew up with Marcus. He was pretty close. There was actually four of us boys were within 5 years of each other, so we grew up pretty close. And anyway, I got older and got married, moved to Missouri, and probably didn't realize how much my younger brothers looked up to me. And so before too long, Marcus came out, was with me. I'm going to tell a little story about him. He helped me during the time that he was out in Missouri from Pennsylvania to stay with me while he bought a car. And it was a car with a bad engine, so he figured that Daddy wouldn't mind too much if it was cheap enough. And anyway, I helped him replace an engine. He pushed it pretty hard. I think he pushed it a little too hard. But he drove back to Pennsylvania. And anyway, before too many years, he got married and moved out to Missouri with me, or with his new wife. So I just want to say to Megan that you're the oldest in the family, and you probably don't realize how your younger brothers and sisters look up to you. So it's a real time to be an example and appreciate what we see. Thank you.
Have anything? All right, well, I guess y'all. Blessing again to be a part of this joining two together. I think each one of both of them have prepared their own vows. Like I said before, I'm not marrying them, they're marrying each other, so the vows are to themselves, and that's what this is about. All the work that's gone in and all the preparations, but these coming together, this joining together, this union of one man and one woman, till death is what we're here for, to witness that. So I'll let each one of them say their piece.
Megan, I love you. And love is selfless. And I think I wrote two things down today of what I was going to talk about. And one was about Jesus, how Jesus loved the church so much that he gave his life for it. And he said that husbands are supposed to do the same for their wives. And I would happily do that for you. I would happily die for you. But I'll be happier to live for you and until death do us part. And the other thing I was going to bring up was the first verses I ever memorized were the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I've always wanted to find someone that was gentle and good and faithful and meek, but not a pushover, and shares the same faith as I do. And I found the one. You're everything I could have ever hoped for. I've loved you from the start. So, I will be there for you and be a support for you and guide you in the best way I know how for the days to come.
Things are in here. I love you too. I can't understand how you would actually want me for your wife. And love isn't always just a feeling, but a choice. Sometimes, you know. I commit to always loving you. To walk by your side through the bright days and through the shadows. And I promise to be faithful to you. I will do my best to be a good wife to you and to be a good helpmeet and an encouragement to you. To serve you and also in serving the Lord. One of the greatest desires of my life, for my life, is that I would do good to you all the days of my life. Whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God.
All right.
I have a verse, a couple verses that I was going to say too. I kind of forgot. I saw these the other day. In Ecclesiastes, it's kind of a more of a paraphrase. Two are better than one. If either of them falls down, one can help the other. But pity on anyone who falls and has no one to help him up. I believe you're the one for helping me where I fail. You're the best girl I've ever known.
Thank you for helping me too.
All right. Well, Corbin, do you take Megan to be your wife? till death do you part?
I do.
Megan, do you take Corbin to be your husband?
I do.
All right. Pronounce you man and wife, Mr. and Mrs. Corbin Eckstead.
Let's stand and sing that. Don't forget.